shorter song, the video song.
How are you? God bless you. Guess what? This is the first Sunday of 2021. I have so many feelings, thoughts, emotions, perspectives. I thought about this morning just kind of taking this Sunday to reflect. And maybe that's a good thing to do. Maybe you can do that. Just reflect on this past year, reflect on the new year. I kind of want to say one thing, and we're going to do things a little bit different today because this is a new beginning. It's a new Sunday. It's a new year. So I'll be sharing a little different perspective this morning. But I appreciate you listening, and I want to share. You hear all kinds of things about the new year, the new year, the new year. It's really just another day in the calendar. If anything does change, we're going to have to initiate our change in how we look at things and how we feel about things and decisions we make about things, our perspective, our attitude. You know that life and the fulfillment with God's presence in our lives is about 80% our attitude about it, our perspective of it. And what we choose, we can choose to be positive, we can choose to be negative, we can choose to look to Christ, to look to God, we can choose to wallow in our misery, to worry. So I'm going to share some things about that. Anyway, God bless you. I'm so glad. If you're listening or viewing this, I appreciate you so much. I have no idea when we'll be able to see each other, be together, to worship. I repeat every time because it's so real to me how much I miss all of you and miss seeing you, miss being with you. The isolation for so many people living alone, for so many people feeling isolated, for so many people not being able to worship or be in a group or be in community. It's not natural, it's painful, but one day we'll be persevered. Trust God, let's keep our faith, let's be strong, let's choose to be positive and to look at the best. So for this Sunday, I had already prepared a message, typed it out, to return to the Sermon on the Mount. And to conclude with the final Beatitudes, and then to look at what I saw as God's kind of mandate for us for this coming year. So I'm reading over that, and one thing I learned from my dear and precious sweet wife was to appreciate the intuitive, and especially when the Holy Spirit is combined and in union with the intuitive. So she brought out more of a sense of recognizing the intuitive side and recognizing God's impression spiritually on the intuitive part of our being that He created. And as I was looking over the sermon I had prepared, I just thought, you know what? I need something of encouragement from Scripture because I have this message called a mandate for 2021 that Christ gives us, and we're going to look at that. But we're going to look at that next Sunday. This Sunday, God just laid on my heart, and I'm trusting the spiritual, intuitive direction of the Holy Spirit in my life that I need to hear some scripture that will encourage me, that will lift me up, and I got a sense that you may need that too. I hope you do, because I'm going to share what scripture God brought to my heart and which I need to read and reread, let absorb in my system, let permeate my spirit, let ground me when those dark days come and those worrisome or days that you're down a little bit, to lift you up and just say, remember this. This is your grounding. These are the things that you need to absorb into your life and take as we look toward the future, the present and the future. My daughter always reminds me, Dad, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. We only have today. And she is absolutely right. But we can think about the future, but trust God today and do all we can to be all He created us to be this day. So with that, we're going to look at some scripture this morning. Before we do, I want to lead us in prayer to just prepare our hearts and ready our spirit to receive from God's word today, okay? So let's pray together. Father, thank you for those who are watching and listening. Thank you for this opportunity to share from your word. Thank you that we can take this calendar event and look in our minds high and heart toward a new beginning, a fresh beginning, a hope and an assurance and a positive outlook. And I pray that, God, for every person who may be suffering, who may be going through grief or sorrow, or may be in the hospital, in the ICU, Lord, or loved ones. We're in the midst of a great crisis, God, that you know all about, and we turn to you, we trust you, we plead with you. Help us, Lord. Help us look up to you. Help us depend upon you. Help us build our faith in you through these difficult times. But God, bless every person who's listening and viewing, everyone that's a member of our congregation, everyone in our community, in our nation, this world that you died for so that it might be saved. So we commit this time to you, Lord, and trust you will accomplish your purpose in every heart and life and household. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today is going to be very simple. I've listened to what I trust is God's Spirit leading to pick out some selected scriptures. Obviously can't do everything in all of God's Word, but just some selected scriptures and portions of scriptures to share with you because they are what I needed for encouragement as I look to this new year and all of what God may desire to do. So anyway, God's Word, all of God's Word, and I preach all of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation and can't choose it all. But we're going to look at five portions of the Psalms, and I know we already went through several Psalms. We're going to look at some of them again. Then God led me to two passages in the New Testament, and then actually a bonus passage at the end of the Bible that I want to read for you. Basically, we're just going to read these and not much reflection because they actually speak for themselves. The objective in mind is to have you note these. And as we go along, you can jot down. If you're listening or if you're viewing, just take a little notepad and just mark the reference. For instance, the first one is Psalm 1. This is the beginning. If it was January 1, it's January 3rd, but it's the first Sunday of the new year of 2021. And so Psalm 1 is kind of a foundation to the whole objective of looking at these scriptures. So you can jot down Psalm 1 so that you can go back through this week, through this next month, or throughout the year, and you can reread Psalm 1. Because you're not going to absorb, we don't absorb it just hearing it one time. We have to repeat it. We have to read it and let it absorb into our system. One reason that I've been so fortunate, God's blessed me so in regard to knowledge of His Word, is because from about the age of 17, I've been rereading and studying and teaching and preaching and going through it again and again and again and again. And so you tend to retain it. So Psalm 1. Let's just say it's a foundational psalm. It's a foundational psalm for the whole book of Psalms, for all 150 psalms, and for a lot of the scripture. Because in Psalm 1, the reference to the law is a reference to God's word, Old Testament, New Testament. It's the word of God. Blessed is the man, Old Testament Hebrew, we can say man and woman, person, who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. It's a regression. We start walking, we notice an area where we might divert from the word of God or the law of God, and we stop and we consider, and then when it takes us in, we sit and become a part of it. So the psalmist is saying, blessed is that person who does not enter that sequence of walking, stopping, standing, sitting in the seat of mockers and sinners. But blessed is, it's a beatitude. So that's consistent with where we've been, except it's Old Testament, not New Testament. Blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the word of God. Delight in the word of God. The word of God is powerful. My words, Frank's words, are not powerful unless they contain the word of God, are inspired by the word of God, anointed by the Spirit of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, on the word of God, this person meditates day and night. Consistent. 24 hours. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. God, there's a blessing. There's a blessing on that person who meditates on the word, lives the word day and night, follows the word of God. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Psalm 1. Let's go on. The next passage the Lord brought to my heart was Psalm 8. Psalm 8. And all of these I'm reading from the old NIV. So you may have some words different if you have a King James or another translation. But listen to Psalm 8. Praise and worship. This is something we've got to have incorporated part of our lives. I worry, in a sense of our people, our believers, you know, if we're not taking opportunity to worship in some way, some capacity through. I watched several videos from several different churches, and all of them inspire me. I choose carefully, and I hope you watch this one. I hope it inspires and lifts you up, but worship the Lord. We've got to worry. We're built for worship. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We need to praise him this year. Regardless of what happened last year, this day, this year, praise the Lord. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 8, you have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. Because of your enemies, to silence the foe of the avenger. It's a lesson in there, but I've got to move on. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? That God loves us human beings so much that he created above the heavens and the moon and the stars, the sun. The Son of Man, that you care for him. You care. God cares for every one of us. You made us a little lower than the heavenly beings or the angels and crowned us with glory and honor. So there's something special about every human being God created. We are a reflection. Remember Genesis 1? Created in the image of God. That means we have personhood like God has personhood. He created us with personhood. So we reflect his image. You made us ruler over the work of your hands. You put everything under our feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Go back to Genesis 1, what God gave a dominion and authority to Adam and Eve to rule over the earth and all of its beings, all of its creatures. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalm of praise and worship, that's Psalm 8. Psalm 16. But go up to verse 5. We won't read the entire psalm, just the last portion, 5 through 11. I love this portion of Psalm 16. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. God has given assignment. He's assigned our place. He's made our lot secure in him. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Just trust God in his providence and his sovereignty. He's drawn our boundary lines. And he's given us an incredible inheritance as we submit and give our lives to him. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. That's the key. I look to God day and night in every situation. He's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. As I have that secure love relationship with Jesus Christ, my Lord. Because, already read that, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. No worry. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, but you will not let your Holy One see decay. Just think of John 11:25. Jesus responding to Mary in regard to her brother Lazarus. If you believe in me, you will live even though you die. And all who believe in me will live and never die. John 11:25. Lord, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasure at your right hand forever and forever. King James, I like actually that which says, in your presence is fullness of joy, at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. One more psalm. It's one of my truly favorite psalms. Psalm 116. And I preached on a lot. We preached all the way through selected psalms. It took us like 3 months, but let me read this one to you again. Psalm 116. So we went from 16 to 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. That's a promise of God. That's a certainty of God. That's a reality of God when we belong to him. He delivers our soul from death, our eyes from tears, our feet from stumbling, and we will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 116. I believed. Therefore I said, I'm greatly afflicted. But how can I repay the Lord for all the goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I'll worship. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people. For precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because they're coming to him. They're coming to him. He's calling them to him. He's receiving them into him. It's precious. It's sacred. Precious to God. Oh Lord, truly I am your servant. I'm your servant, the daughter of your servant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. I call on the name of the Lord. All results in worship. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in the midst, in your midst, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. Leave Psalms, respect to the Gospel of Matthew, which we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to pick out, God laid on my heart. I kept thinking of that passage where Jesus taught. And it came to my mind. And I found it immediately in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verse 25. Listen carefully, this is for 2021. All of this is for 2021 and for every day as God gives each day. But the Gospel of Matthew, according to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said to them, this is a prayer. This is one of the rarely unknown prayers of Jesus. So I was incorrect in saying said to them. He's speaking to the Father. He said to him, the Father. I praise you, Father. That's Jesus. He's giving praise to his Father. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things. What things? All that he's trying to teach, all that he's trying to reveal. You've hidden these things from the wise and learned, for people who think they're smart, smarter than God, or that there is no God. They think, oh, we're very smart. We're more intelligent than to believe there is a God. The people think they're wise and they're learned and they're smart and they learn wherever. But they're really not. Because God has revealed himself to little children. Children believe. Children have a capacity to believe and know there is God. I can't remember. As a little boy, I always knew there was a God. Nobody taught me there was a God that I can remember. But I knew. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. Jesus still praying. Verse 22, 27. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, to reveal the Father. Here's the verse that came to my mind for all of us. Therefore, you can say therefore, it's not in this text, but Jesus is speaking to the people. Come to me. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary, and King James says, heavy laden, burdened, downcast, depressed, discouraged, come to me, all of you who are weary, tired, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's all we need, rest for our soul. And that will affect our body, mind, emotions, and spirit. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. All right, one more before we get to the bonus passage at the end of the Bible. This is Paul's final letter to his spiritual son, Timothy. Pick it up in verse 4. And I just have one point I want to make, but you'll recognize the familiarity of the passage. So Paul's writing to Timothy. Paul's in prison, in house arrest, in chains in Rome, writing back to his spiritual son, Timothy, who is involved in ministry in Ephesus. And Paul says, beginning 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Paul's giving Timothy a charge. This is what I'm charging you to do. Preach the word. Be prepared, in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Something I've tried to do, honestly. But I need to work on the patience part. Has been the weakest part. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers who say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He said that in John chapter 14, 6. There's no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But you keep your head in all situations. Means don't lose control, Timothy. Keep sound judgment. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Seek to keep sharing Christ with others who may not know him. And discharge all the duties of your ministry. Here's Paul's personal word. You're familiar with it. Verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. That's Jesus' crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. What day? When Paul sees Jesus face to face. And not only to me, Paul said, but to all, everyone who has longed for his appearing. Why do they long for his appearing? Because they know him personally as Lord and Savior, and they understand something of who he is. So in speaking about that, just two things. One, if you're breathing, your heart is beating, your race is not over. So keep running the race. Stay on course. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep the faith. Living out the purpose of God for you as he reveals it to you even every day. And then the righteous, the Lord will put that the crown of right, the righteous crown, the crown of righteousness, the crown of righteousness on each of us. When we see him face to face, all of us who love his appearing because we know him personally in our heart and life. So I conclude with bonus chapters. This message today about just scripture and encouragement for 2021. If we love his appearing, let's read about his appearing. The end time. The ultimate goal. The ultimate objective. The ultimate experience of what it will be like in Christ. Revelation. Not revelations. There's no such book in the New Testament. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Apostle John. Chapter 21. Hey, 2021, chapter 21 of the book of Revelation. 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there were no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne say, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for the words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all of this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son, daughter, child. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, three on the west, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Flip over just a little bit. Verse 22. I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now 22, just selected to conclude. Then the angel of the Lord showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will no longer be night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and forever. Behold, verse 7, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. Verse 12, behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed, final beatitude, are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. I, Jesus, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, the Spirit, and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Verse 20, he who testifies to these things says, Yes. I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We'll conclude with a song and a prayer. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. Jesus, thank you for your love and grace and mercy and goodness. Thank you for faithfully going to the cross and paying the full price for our sin through your death. Thank you for rising again, achieving victory over sin and death. Seated today at the right hand of the Father, sending the Spirit to those who believe in your name and receive you as their Lord and Savior. Thank you for your faithfulness to live within us, to live through us, to be present with us, to guide and lead us, to give us hope and assurance, to give us a secure foundation, to give us a knowledge and a peace that passes all understanding. Lord, thank you for being at our side, for being behind, for being before, for being all around, above, and through us. I thank you for every person who is heard this message today, has received these scriptures. Your word is powerful and it's effective, and it penetrates our soul and spirit and feeds us who were created for you. So God, I pray your blessings upon every person, every household, and everyone who listens or views. We pray for our world, our nation. We pray for our community, our state, all our loved ones, our family, our friends, for those suffering, for those hurting, for those grieving, for those that are sick. We pray healing and God, we commit ourselves to you anew and afresh for this new year. May you live out your purpose in us. And we be faithful to do all you've created for us and have intention and purpose for us in 2021. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.